Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35-30.
Get no caught. Broken interception.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. I am John Schmelk. He is Paul Dottino, taking your calls at 201-939-4513. Also, hashtag Giants chat on Twitter as we get ready for the Giants and Cowboys on Sunday Night Football at MetLife Stadium. Paul Dottino joins me today. Paul, good morning. Good afternoon. How are you, sir?
Good to see you, John. I was just looking at this Gatorade in front of me, and I was thinking how it is a mixture of silver and blue, kind of a light blue.
Except there's a big NY Giants logo on it. Did you see that?
I didn't. But you guys can see that on the camera.
Right.
In any event.
So
how about that?
Mystery solved. It's always good to see that you finally noticed the Gatorade container that has been up there all season long.
Well, I just wonder why it's not truly giant blue. Instead, it's more like, I don't know, sky blue. But maybe we can get that change next year.
Well, I'm not in charge of the Gatorade manufacturing process, Dottino. What do you want from
me? Guys of Gatorade, please change the dye color in the Gatorade.
All right. Very good. All right. Paul, Giants and Cowboys getting ready on Sunday, and to me, this game has the feel for a good old-fashioned shootout.
Yeah, you know, John, it's funny because a lot of people have asked me this week, based on what the Giants did against Dallas in October down in Dallas, 31-21 was the final.
Mm-hmm. But it was much closer than that.
Well, then that's what they ask me. They keep saying, well, but the Giants had a really good chance to win the game. And I'm like, yeah, they absolutely played with them. A couple of bad penalties. The fumble by Donnell deep in Giants territory was, of course, the most critical of the turnovers of the game. Giants had a couple of fumbles in that one. I'm with you, John. I actually think this is going to be a really entertaining game. I think these teams are a lot more evenly matched than most people think. Both teams are missing some guys due to injury.
The Cowboys, though, probably healthier than the Giants. One of the reasons they have a better record, for that matter.
Yes, no question. And you know what? I'm curious to see how the Cowboys approach their offensive game plan, given that, and we've talked about this all week on this show, the MSG shows as well, DeMarco Murray is getting a little bit fewer touches now, 30 per game before the last 3 weeks, and in the last three games, he's only down to 24 a game.
Which is probably wise on their part.
They said that.
Right.
Garrett had said, I think it was the week of the Giant game even, that we know we can't keep up this pace with him.
Right.
He's got to pull back, or we're just not going to have a guy at the end of the season. I mean, it's insane to expect him to touch the ball like 500 times. So I'm curious to see, now that they had their week off with the bye, how much they actually tweak that game plan and how much he actually gets.
Right, and we'll get to that Cowboys offense in a second, but Paul, the big news right now is on the Giants offensive line, and this is just simply based on media report, folks. We're not confirming anything. We're not saying it's going to happen, but I know we're going to get calls on it, so we might as well touch it off the top of the show, Paul. Reports yesterday from Mike Garafolo, Jordan Renan published it as well, that the Giants are going to do a pretty major reshuffling of the offensive line this week with Jeff Schwartz's return, with Justin Pugh looking like he's going to be unable to go on Sunday. They'll put Jeff Schwartz out there at right tackle, and then they're going to move in a guy you've been wanting to see for much of this year, Adam Snyder, to replace the rookie Weston Richburg over at left guard. And again, I stress, this is a media report. The Giants have not said this is happening. They have not confirmed this is happening, but this is a report, Paul, that is out there.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Snyder was signed, very late in the summer, right before the season, and this is a guy who's played guard, tackle, and also the jumbo tight end formation in San Francisco. He's been around for, 8 years, I think?
He's been around a while, yeah.
Right? He has started a lot of games in this league, and so he's seen every style of defense and every style of front that you could see. He's played against most of the big stars, obviously, being with the Niners. He's played in playoff games, so he's battle-tested, I guess, mm-hmm. is the point that I'm making here. And so now, if this is true, and he's going to get an opportunity to play, I got to tell you, I'm anxious, I'm eager to see what he has to offer, because I have to believe, even though he was cut by the Niners, and you know, their offensive line has not been very good this year, let's be honest.
They've struggled.
I still have a feeling that, you know, the Giants have seen the Niners several times over the last few years, and they know the kind of player Snyder is. They've seen him firsthand. I've often thought since that they even picked him up, you know, I'm interested. I want to see what he's got. And if this is the case, you know, more power to him.
And there's a chance this might see that now this week. And I think it's also interesting that Jeff Schwartz will get his first action at right tackle, a position he only played, I think, a couple times a couple years ago out on that right side. He talked about it. He said he's comfortable out there. But coming off of a right toe injury where, you know, he spoke about maybe that could affect his mobility a little bit, it's going to be a challenge out there at right tackle. But the Cowboys don't have a lot of great defensive pass rushers either. So Schwartz will have a chance to get out there in a position he is comfortable at,
right,
to give the Giants a big boost off of what they had to deal with last week after that pew injury.
Well, you got to remember, John Coughlin said, quote, not very well when asked how Charles Browns did. I mean, Coach was very upfront about it, was not pleased.
And Schwartz is the easy answer, and it's the logical one.
Well, and here's the thing. Schwartz actually did tell us the other day in the locker room, John, he played some right tackle last year.
Oh, was it last year?
He said
2 years ago. My fault.
But over the course of his career, he's done a little of everything.
Yeah.
And he told us that he'd been practicing at guard and at tackle.
Correct.
And moving around a lot. And as of yesterday afternoon, he said he didn't know where they were going to play him on Sunday.
Correct.
Now, whether or not they've decided that, hey, Jeff Schwartz knows, the coaches probably know, but here's what I can tell you. He told us that he feels comfortable enough that he could go anywhere in the game because he has seen game action at all the positions.
All right, and logically speaking, they've had this starting offensive line the whole year. So if one guy gets hurt, it makes sense for a returning injured player to replace the guy that gets hurt rather than mucking up everything else. So it does make a logical sense here as you try to make a move on this offensive line.
The Pew thing is interesting because, as he told us, he had gotten hurt, I guess it was in the warm-ups in Seattle.
Correct, and then he played through it in that game.
And he was able to play.
And he practiced the next week.
Right.
But then I guess it came up again in the pregames against Dallas.
So I asked him in the locker room when we had media ops the other day, did you know you were going to be either active or inactive going into the 49er game? Because he only lasted 8 plays, John.
Yeah, but I think he thought he was going to be okay.
And that's the thing that
you wonder
really,
if it, you think the cold weather maybe tightens up the muscle a little bit? Who knows?
I don't know.
Neither do I.
But he said to me, I knew I was going to start against San Francisco, and I thought I was going to be able to play. And I said, yeah, but Justin, you only went 8 plays. He said, I know. He said, I had to come out. So he was surprised. He thought he was going to go the full go against San Fran, and I think the coaches were probably as surprised as anybody.
Right.
Because, you know, Tom, if he doesn't think you can go 4 quarters, that is,
yeah,
he's probably not going to dress you.
And the thing about, you know, the quad injury, too, you don't have a good quad. You have no power, and you can't deal with the power rush. So it's something you definitely can't play with. All right, let's get to some sound here. We'll start with Jeff Schwartz, cut 101. He's going to be back on the field this week. At least we think he is. We'll know for sure today when they release the Giants' final injury report.
He's active.
And he talked about what he can do to help the team this week.
We need to finish on a positive note. Just kind of speaking offensively, we've had some struggles running the ball, and that kind of starts with us up front. I think we need to kind of reestablish that identity of running the ball, and it's not just going to be me that helps with that. We have to do that as a kind of a whole unit, and I'm excited to kind of be a part of that because it has to be done. I mean, that's our job, to run the ball, and especially when the weather gets bad and it keeps our defense off the field. I mean, there's a lot of reasons why running the ball is good for us, so hopefully I can kind of help with that process.
And Paul, there's no secret that the Giants have struggled running the football a little bit this year. They need to get it going. Can they do it against this Dallas Cowboys defense?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, in each of the last two games, the Giants have run for less than 70 yards. So the running game lately has even been more sporadic than it had been earlier in the year. But
Jennings is back for one. And it's his second game back.
And this is why I think there may be some turnaround. First of all, he got some of that rust off last week, which Tom himself said, what do you expect? He hadn't played for 5 weeks.
Ben McAdoo said the same thing yesterday when he spoke to the media.
Okay. So being realistic about this, it is Jennings' second go-round. So he should be better. Schwartz was known as a better run blocker than a pass blocker in Kansas City. So that could potentially help if he's in the lineup. And the other thing that could help is that if you look at the Cowboys' defensive front, they allow over 5 yards a carry, I believe, when it's running towards the left side of their defensive front, and over 6 yards a carry to the right side of their defensive front. And I'm talking about off the tackles, not between the tackles. That seems to me like the Achilles of the Dallas D. So if you're the Giants, that's where you want to go. Is it doable? Yeah, it's doable. Now they just got
to
execute.
All right, let's go to the passing game. We'll go to cut 102. Eli Manning talked about bouncing back from that 5-interception performance last week against San Francisco.
In this league, you play long enough, you're going to have tough games, you're going to have bad games, you're going to have games that are hard to get over, but you got to put it behind you. You got to have a short memory, and you can't let one game or let alone one play dictate how you're going to perform in the net. I think I've done a good job doing that over my career, and you got to do it again this week.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt that Giant fans and Giant coaches and Giant players expect Eli Manning to make better decisions and make some better throws than he made last week, and they also hope that he'll get a little bit of better protection as well.
Well, you know, John, we've been talking about Eli all year long in terms of how he was going to adapt to the West Coast offense, then how were his receivers going to go along with it. And look, what, it had been over a month? He was clean without any turnovers at all.
Paul, he was playing, until last week, he was having one of the best seasons of his career.
Okay.
No question.
So, well, and then a bad day.
Yeah.
You know, I love what Roman Oben said to me yesterday. He said, hey, the way he's played, you can give him a mulligan.
Right.
It's unfortunate that the Giants didn't win the game. You'd like to think that he could have a bad game and they could still win.
And, of course, it was in a game where the defense stepped up and played extremely well. And if you didn't have those turnovers, there's a good chance you actually do probably win that game.
Well, you know.
It happens. What can you do?
But you know what? Tom Coughlin, and he was right. A lot of those awards get overlooked if the Giants catch one of those passes in the end zone.
No question about it.
And that's, you know, folks, that's the funny part.
Winning fixes everything.
Right. And I'm not telling
everything,
you anything you don't know.
Everything.
You know what's funny, John? And you guys know, I tape the games and I watch every game twice over, even though I'm at the games on Sunday. When I go back and I review the games, you'd be surprised how many things you see. And this is why Coach always says, you always want to improve every week. You always got to keep working. You got to keep working. Because even wins aren't perfect.
No, definitely
there,
not.
There are warts in wins, too.
There's always stuff to fix after these games. It doesn't
always
matter win or lose.
That's why they have corrections every Monday morning,
no
right?
And that's why the coach says on his Monday press conference, now that we've looked at the tape, we have some things to add to what we talked about after the game.
Always.
Yep.
And so, you know, it's just a shame that in this particular case, the Giants lost, so Eli's 5 picks get magnified.
Yep.
But, you know, again, if one of those passes is caught in the end zone, we probably don't talk about it.
And the Giants will be trying to do it against a Dallas Cowboys defense that has improved a lot from last year. Let's hear from Dallas cornerback Orlando Scandrick. He talked a little bit about why the Dallas defense has been so much better in 2014.
Coach Marinelli and Coach Kiffin, who brought the 4-3 and a little bit of simplicity and, you know, just doing your job and doing what you do well. And I think now, you know, we finally got a formula that's winning, you know, that fits this team. And I'm not saying that the formula that those previous guys had wasn't winning football, but maybe it just didn't fit this team. And now we got a formula in place that fits this team. We got guys that have bought into it. And I mean, finally starting to see the results.
You know, Paul, I'm not sure you can give Rob Marinelli enough credit here because he is a defense that doesn't have a standout player on it. I mean, you have no one here that's probably even going to sniff a Pro Bowl. Orlando Scandrick's their best player in the secondary. Rolando McLean's done a good job as a reclamation project at linebacker.
Right.
Henry Melton's coming off an ACL. He's rushing the passer okay. But they don't have stars. They don't have that DeMarcus Ware. They don't have that Sean Lee.
Brandon Carr was legit.
Yeah, but he's also struggled the last few weeks and the last couple of years.
That's true.
So what does this Dallas Cowboys defense do that keeps them in the middle of the pack? Because, look, no one expected them to be top 10, but they're not bottom 10%, which is, I think, why the Cowboys have a much better record this year.
You know, John, they're only blitzing 22% of the time.
Yeah, they're very sound. They just do what they do.
Okay. Yeah, they don't take a lot of chances. And as you mentioned, they're not a great pass-rushing team. Marinelli picks his spots when he is going to send guys. For the most part, what he's got them doing is playing a conservative team defense where everybody's relying on one another. In fact, you know, it was against Seattle earlier in the year when they beat the Seahawks in Seattle that I first kind of started saying, you know what, yeah, this defense is really playing better than people thought. Because what I saw was that every time one of the Seahawks got the ball, there were 3 or 4 Cowboys encircling him.
There was a swarming defense, and they tackle extremely well.
Yeah.
No question.
And that was it for me.
It's fundamentals.
Yeah. And everybody was hustling to the ball, and they would all make sure that they encapsulated the ball carrier so that even if one guy didn't make the first hit, there was always 2 or 3 other guys to make sure that the runner didn't squirt away. And I was impressed with that because they did that all game against the Seahawks. And I said, well, you know what? yeah, this Dallas defense, the numbers are kind of telling the truth here. They're playing a lot better.
Well, and their defense has also been helped by a Cowboys offense that has held the ball an awful lot this
year. Question.
They've held the ball for more than half the game, which keeps that defense off the field. And one of the big reasons they hold the ball is running back DeMarco Murray. Giants defensive lineman Cohen Jenkins talked about the importance of the interior of the Giants defensive line slowing down DeMarco and that Cowboys running attack.
Well, it starts with the interior. You know, it starts with us inside and, you know, up front. You know, we've got to be stout. We've got to not give him the running lanes, you know, to get through because, you know, he's a patient back. And, you know, if you try to do too much, if you just, you know, for 1 second peek outside of your gap, you know, he'll find a hole and he'll hurt you.
Well, Paul, here's the problem. Cowboys are the number two rushing offense in the league. The Giants right now have the worst rushing defense in the league. So this is something where you're going to put a big star on it. Coach is going to circle it on his whiteboard when he talks to the team. The defensive coach is going to circle when they talk to the defensive players. They have to stop the run this week, period.
It would be helpful if Cohen Jenkins can play.
Yes, no question. Jaquan would help too, by the way.
Yeah. Now, I did not get any word this morning about the concussion protocol. Do we know if he passed his test?
I'll check Twitter to see if anybody posted anything, but my guess is that we won't know that until Tom Coughlin addresses the media.
Right. Or unless we get a practice report from one of the writers that says he was
out
there.
I'm going to check it out right now. Let's see what I can find.
In any event, so we're still waiting for word on Jaquan Williams. I thought that Mark Herzlick actually played well last week.
Very solid.
9 tackles, and he also recovered an onside kick. So that was nice to see. Especially, he played well against the run for sure. But Cohen Jenkins, sore calf, talking to him, and you got the quote from him on tape, he seemed very optimistic.
He did.
To me.
But again, remember, last time he came back, he only lasted a quarter or two before he went out again.
Well, he got hurt in Seattle.
Exactly.
So I don't know exactly where he stands. Well, hopefully there'll be something to report from the writers as to his activity today. I think he's an important part of this thing because, what's he got, 5 sacks, John?
Yeah.
Or 4? I'm not sure exactly what his number is now offhand, but he gets good pressure in the front of the pocket. You know, Tony Romo's going to do his thing. He's going to squirt around and snake around back there. That's what he does. But you want to make sure that you get somebody clogging those lanes on Murray because he's just so good when he finds that crease, so good on the cutback, so good at making moves. I just think that Jenkins is a very mentally strong player. He doesn't get down easily. He's tough. He's physical. He gets all the dirty work done. I like this guy. I'll be honest with you. I can't say enough, and it's a shame that the team hasn't done better because he would be getting more props.
He's a good player.
If the team had a better record.
No question about it.
Because he's one of those guys.
And he's a free agent after the year, right? If I'm not mistaken.
I believe he is.
Yeah, so that's a decision the Giants will have to make. He's on the other side of 30, but he's been great since he's been here. So something the Giants will have to decide in the offseason. Of course, with DeMarco Murray, you also have Tony Romo, and that Giants defensive line is going to have to get to the quarterback. Giants safety on Charol talked about how Tony Romo looked 2 weeks ago coming off that back injury when they played the Jacksonville Jaguars.
You know, Romo, he's a competitor. You know, he's a tough guy. You know, he went out there and he played a very good game against Jacksonville. And, you know, we're looking forward to a great matchup. You know, anytime we play these guys, you know, it's always going to be a four-quarter battle.
And these guys do play close games generally, Paul. Even when one team is up and one is down, they tend to play very close games in the Eli Manning, Tony Romo era. And by the way, those two quarterbacks have played more games against each other than any other current pair of quarterbacks in the National Football League. I believe the number is 14, if I'm not mistaken.
I thought it was 15.
It might be 15. You might be right.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. I think it's 14 when they started because Romo came in at halftime in that first game, so that might be the 15th. You might be right about it. I don't quite remember, but you might be right. Romo. How conservative will the Cowboys be with him in terms of throwing a lot of short stuff? Does he have the torque in the back to let it loose down the field to Dez Bryant? How do you see them handling him, and how big of an impact is that going to have on the game, how the Cowboys do handle him?
John, first of all, let's make it very clear. He's had the bye week to get himself together.
And that helps.
Okay, it has to. At this point in the season, has to.
I was talking to somebody. I think it was a former player, and they told me those transverse processes are generally like a 3 to 4 week type of injury. So he's at about that 3 week area
right now. I've never
had
one, for what it's worth. Thank goodness. No one's ever broken my back.
Well, Just watch out on your power walk. Someone might be trying to hunt you down there,
but
you know.
But the point is, Romo had the 1 week off where they put him out of the lineup for Whedon. Came back against Jacksonville, and John, I don't know if you saw the game, but he looked really good.
Yeah, he did.
He did.
He was very accurate, but they also didn't ask him to throw it down the field a whole lot.
No.
A lot of short stuff.
No. But he was accurate.
Yeah.
Seemed to have total control over his movements. Didn't seem like he was that inhibited, but you are right. They did pull back a tad. I don't know. I'm thinking off of the bye week. I'm thinking they may be a little bit more aggressive with him. But here's what I will say, and I think this is very important. Colin Jenkins also said this yesterday after we got done talking about DeMarco Murray.
Mm-hmm.
He said the thing that he noticed about Romo this year is that he's doing less to put his team in danger.
Well, do you know why? He doesn't have to do as much DeMarco to help the
Murray's
team win.
Running for 1,200
yards.
Right,
when you have to throw for four touchdowns to have your team win, you can do less.
And so he's playing more conservative. Right. He's playing smarter. He's going through his progressions better. And you know what? It's made him a better quarterback.
Only three interceptions in the last eight games, 68.8% completion percentage, second in the NFL to only Drew Brees.
It's so noticeable.
It is.
Because he was known as a guy who would make mistakes.
Yep. And he's throwing to a big-time wide receiver in Dez Bryant. And the Cowboys and the Giants, rather, are dealing with an injury to Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie. Perryfield talked about matching up with Dez and status of Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie.
I think Dez is really playing great football. He's gotten so much bigger and stronger over the years. His chemistry with Tony is obviously gotten better. And so, yes, it does make it difficult to match up in the, you know, without a full-strength 21. But I think 21 has really done a good job of practicing, and he's done a good job of trying to stay in the ball game and play as much as he possibly can play. So I'm encouraged by what we see out of 21.
Now here's the question, Paul. The Cowboys will move Dez around. They put him in the slot now. They play him on both sides.
Yeah.
If they move him around, when Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie is in the game, will the Giants have him follow Dez Bryant?
You know what? They might try it one way, and then if it doesn't work, try the other way. I don't think they're married to any one philosophy because, let's face it, you have to make adjustments. You can't just go in with saying we're going to do it this way and that's it. You're going to have to see how the whole thing plays out. I will tell you this, as great as Dez Bryant is, and we talked about it on the MSG show, 3 100-yard games this year, a 150 or more against Jacksonville and the Giants.
But two out of the last four under 50 yards.
Okay. It was this other guy, and I'm pointing him out here on my
Terrence
board.
Williams?
No.
Cole Beasley?
Gavin Escobar.
Oh, yeah.
Caught the two touchdown passes in October.
Down that seam. By the way, I think that accounts for like 40% of his production all year or something like that.
Yeah. but he was the guy who caught the two scores who really was a thorn in the Giants' side. So let's not forget that no matter how much attention you pay to Dez, Tony can find other guys.
Paul, final piece of audio I'll throw to is head coach of the Cowboys, Jason Garrett. He spoke about the Cowboys' third down conversions. Right now they're second in the NFL at over 50%, but in the last three games the Cowboys have struggled converting on third downs. Here's Dallas head coach Jason Garrett. Let's listen in.
For a stretch there, our third down stuff was off the charts. To be over 50% week after week after week, I haven't been around that in my life as a player or as a coach. The last couple weeks have not been as good.
We've
made some more bigger plays in the game, certainly the other day in London. So sometimes that erases some of the third down stuff. But, you know, I think for the most part, we've done a good job. We've sustained drives. We've been balanced.
And they've had done a good job on third down, Paul, and in the Giants' first game against Dallas. Dallas was 9 of 14 on third downs, including on that big, I'm not going to call it a game-winning drive, but that game-sealing drive. They got a lot of those tough third down completions to Dez Bryant on Prince. Prince played him well on those plays, but they just made spectacular catches, spectacular throws. Third down's going to be a big key on Sunday.
That goes back to what Jerry Jones said after that game when he said that that's the best game Tony Romo had ever played.
A lot of tight spots. A lot of tight spots.
He threw some laser beams. I mean, I think what I said was I had two adjectives for Tony Romo after that game. One, I said he was like a surgeon. The other thing I said was like he was like a diamond cutter. I mean, he was that precise in that game. And, John, you remember I was on the sideline that night because I don't usually get a seat in a box in Dallas, so I'm on the field the entire time.
Well, they actually have the wanted poster of you up in the press box. They don't
let
him up there.
Yeah, it's dangerous for me there. In any event, he was absolutely sensational. The spots that he was able to throw that ball to, I remember talking to Prince on the Monday after the game. And I commended him on the job that he did. And I was curious to see, you know, if he was down or if he was understanding that he did play well. And he said, you know what? I already looked at the, some of the films with the coaches. We were trying to figure out what else could I have done.
Nah, it's hard. It's hard.
Sometimes they make plays.
Time to take your calls at 201-939-4513. Listeners are winning cash every week at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site, where it's like a new season every time you play. Hurry, get free entry into the $100,000 fantasy football contest this weekend, where first place takes home 10 grand. Head to DraftKings.com now to enter code BLUE to play for free. DraftKings.com, bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires. Enter BLUE for free entry right now. On DraftKings.com, that's DraftKings.com. Time to go to the calls. Brian is in D.C., and Brian, you're up first. Thank you for your patience, my friend. What do you got going on?
Hello?
Brian, you there, pal? Brian going once, Brian going twice, and Brian is sold. You got the phone pod up there on the mixer, right, Neil? Okay, let's go to the next caller. Brian, call right back. We'll get you right back. We'll go to Big Ed in Maryland. Big Ed, you're up next. What's going on, pal? How are you?
Hey. Who we got on the line here? I heard Big Paulie back there. Who's this other guy here?
You got Big Schmelk, Big Ed. What's going on, buddy?
It's the Schmelkster. What's up, dude?
What's going on, Big Ed? How are you?
It's Big Paulie D and the Schmelkster.
Good to see you.
Oh, man. What's up, guys?
How are you, Big Ed?
Hey, all I can say is optimistic. That's what you want to go in when y'all talk to them later on. Big Ed said optimistic. One thing you got to know about when you play Dallas, you don't leave nobody alone. They crush us in the passing game because we leave somebody alone and miss an assignment. So I'm thinking on the run defense, gap control, of course, everybody know that. Keep him on the inside and not let him break to the outside. Whereas Rashad, he needs to do the opposite. He needs to break to the outside just as much as the inside. But on the defensive level, we got to get Tony Romo, whoever's quarterback. We don't even have to sack him. We just have to make him do more than he needs to do. Make him overthink himself. Got to remember, guys, they've been on bye. So by them being on bye, they're gonna come tough, which we expect anyway. Well, let the weather play a big part, and I think we can do something.
All right, Big Ed, thanks for the call, my friend. And look, I think you're 100% right.
Is he in Buffalo, by the way? You hear that storm
Big
in the
Ed's
background?
A little enthusiastic, man. Big Ed, I knew Big Ed always brings the positivity. I was very happy to lead up the show with him. Here's a question for you. Will the weather play a role here? I don't think rain's in the forecast anymore, but it's supposed to be a little chilly in the 40s. Romo, stiff back, grip the ball. Honestly, I don't see it. Somebody brought it up to me the other day, so I figured I'd ask you, the weather king who has the windsock and the barometer on the field before the game trying to get weather conditions.
John knows with my college football play-by-play background,
he's
really pay a lot.
He's obsessed
I
with the
pay
weather.
A lot of attention
he's
to the
obsessed.
Weather and field conditions.
Obsessed.
But no, I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal. But the one thing that he said that I do think is very, very important, John, and it's something I've talked about, I guess, since the game in Detroit opening night.
Yeah.
Finish on that pass rush. You know, too many times the Giants get pressure. They get guys in the backfield, and then they just don't get there in time to bring that quarterback down. And Tony Romo has been as slippery as snake. I've often said it's like he plays with butter on his jersey, because against the Giants, he escapes more sacks than I think any quarterback in recent memory. And he's got that one turn spin move that he uses.
The spin where he spins back to the right, which generally is not something a right-handed quarterback wants to do, but he does it all the time, and people are never ready for it.
You know, I think we got to go to Dennis Savard of the Chicago Blackhawks, the great NHL hockey player, and ask if we can take that
hockey now.
Well, he's got that spinorama.
I've banned
right.
Hockey
you remember? Well, you remember the
hockey.
Trademark
no,
spinorama
no,
move?
I don't.
Well, we're going to take that trademark off, and we're giving it to Tony Romo, and I'm calling it the spinorama move.
Spinorama.
Because that's what he does.
In this case, it would be the Spinoromo.
Yes! Oh! Now he's got it!
You like that one?
I do! The Spinoromo. I might use that.
I think you could use that on the pregame show on Sunday night.
Or on the postgame, whenever. No, you can. It's yours. You can use it on the pregame. I might use it during the game or during the postgame.
Okay.
The Spinoromo.
I give you permission to use that. Let's go to Brian in D.C. He's up next. Brian, what's going on, pal? Thanks for calling back.
All right, am I on now?
Yeah, you're loud and clear, Brian. What's going on, pal?
We got you.
Sounds great. All right, I watch you guys' video on a regular basis. I just wanted to ask a couple of questions.
Sure.
First, I had a question about Eli Manning. Personally, I feel like he's overhyped. I hear you guys defend him every week, and but I hear you also talk about other players, and some of the main points you make are about consistency in making plays. And when I look at Eli on a weekly basis, I don't see that. And if I held him to the same standard, I think his consistency just really has never been there as a player.
Well,
and
Brian,
in a new offense that's supposed to be simpler, shorter passes.
Well, Brian,
and I don't see that really coming.
Well, Brian, I want to ask you a question. You say he's overhyped. You know, how do you think he's hyped? Like, where do you think most people put him in terms of the echelon of quarterbacks? And that's how you judge whether or not you think he's overhyped or not.
Well, I should articulate that differently. I feel like when I watch you guys, we're constantly defending him. I'm curious. I'm asking a question more than making a statement with regard to how he's hyped, because when I look at how is he rated amongst his players, I've been Googling this, amongst his peers, rather. I've tried to Google this, and it doesn't seem like he's considered very highly outside the organization as far as players in the league.
I don't think that's true,
also,
Brian. What I would say is Eli is right there in that second tier of quarterbacks in the National Football League. I'm not going to put him on Peyton Manning's level or Tom Brady's level in terms of regular season performance. Postseason performance, I'll put him up against anybody, okay? That's number one. But he's right with everybody else. He's with Ben Roethlisberger. He's with all those other guys in that second tier of quarterbacks, in my opinion.
Well, you know, to be fair, look at the stretch of games that he had after the first couple of games where, you know, everybody was just trying to feel their way with the new offense, and they were, you know, he had a couple of turnovers and
right.
stuff. But then look at the stretch after that. John,
Eli's been the least of the team's problems this year.
I mean, really,
he really has been.
I think if you want to you know talk about what's gone wrong or what's gone right here, Eli falls in the right category.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, I think that when you look at the way this offense is relative to the offense he was before, he shouldn't be the problem. Actually, for a veteran quarterback, the stature that he should have at this point in his career, the way we define him should not be as he is not the problem. You know, I think that he should be carrying his team very similar to what he did in the second time he went to the Super Bowl. It's almost like it's just flashes. And again, it gets back to my thing about
consistency. Let me just say this to you. And I do think it's a relevant point. But I think what happens is, and John knows me a long time.
Thank you for the call, Brian, by the way. Appreciate it.
I'm not into the highlight-based praise that a lot of people give. They call it, what, the ESPN syndrome,
right,
where folks just want to see the big plays and the big highlights, and that's how they grade a player or mm-hmm. that's how they perceive a player. I think the other thing that really is a pet peeve of mine is I think that a lot of people grade players on their fantasy football rankings.
No, that's a hundred. No, Paul, you could not be more right about that. That is 100% accurate.
Eli Manning will never be the first quarterback taken in anybody's fantasy football draft.
Though he had a stretch there from like 2009 to 2011 where he was going to be a starting quarterback.
Okay, but he's not going to be taking one in a fantasy football draft.
He's not going to get picked over Drew Brees or Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady or Peyton Manning.
He's not.
Correct.
Okay.
That is correct.
And I think what happens is
100%
that a lot of people start thinking that they know football because they know fantasy football. And they'll look at those numbers and he's a great fantasy football player. So they think he's a good. No. Here's the thing. There are a lot of really great players in this league, really good ones and really great ones, who aren't terrific fantasy football people. That's what Eli Manning is. Eli Manning is a really good player who's not a great fantasy football player.
Well, and heading into this game, before the 5-interception game last week, when he threw one touchdown and 5 interceptions, Eli had 17 touchdowns and 6 picks. That's a 3-to-1 ratio, more or less. That's excellent.
He'll take that, right?
Any quarterback in this league will sign up for that. Any quarterback. And going into that game, he had a quarterback rating, I think it was in the high 80s. So look, his numbers dropped, obviously, with that game last week. It's going to happen. But, guys, Eli Manning's not the problem here. I think the Giants, you know, would love to have Eli Manning playing at this level for the next few years, and I think they'd be thrilled with that, to be quite honest with you.
And by the way, Pro Bowl receiver, 1,000-yard receiver, Victor Cruz was injured earlier this year and is on injured reserve.
And the running game hasn't exactly helped the quarterback either.
Starting running back, missed a month. I mean, and Rashad Jennings was top 3, I think, in the NFL in rushing when he got hurt.
Yeah, he was top 5 at least. Whatever he was, he was good.
I mean, so seriously, to be as fair as you can be, look at the facts. You're going to put that Eli Manning on a scale here. I'm sorry. I don't see the point. I just don't see it. Eli Manning has been good.
201-939-4513. We have some open lines if you want to call in, chime in, talk some Giants football as they get ready to play the Cowboys on Sunday Night Football. 201-939-4513. Jamal is down in Dallas hanging out in enemy territory. Jamal, you laying low this week, my friend?
Hey, no. I'm still shouting proud, man. So my Dallas Cowboy fans that live out here ask me where I'm going to, and I'm telling them, well, we're going to hang out. We're going to a Giants bar out here.
Nice.
You know? I love that.
But my question is on General Manager Jerry Reese.
Yep.
I just want to know, he came into office in 07, correct?
That's correct.
All right, and he was already a part of the staff, my understanding. I think he already held a position there already.
Now, Paul, you know that. When did Jerry Reese come into the organization as a scout?
Oh, boy.
Mid-90s?
I was going to say.
Late-90s?
I think he's been here for approximately 20 years.
Okay, so,
oh, wow.
so mid-90s.
So he knows the system.
Yes.
See, my only problem with Jerry Reese is this, and I don't know if it's a mindset he has, but I feel like since the 07 years, and I'm going to go with the Justin Tuck and OC era, I feel like the caliber of players have been kind of like we're already referring to Eli, kind of like your tier two, tier three, you know, not the top of the line type players that we're getting out of college, the kind of mediocre.
I still think Eli's a top tier guy. I'm not going to let you get away with that comment. I'm an Eli guy.
No.
But what do you want from me?
No. What I'm saying is, I guess kind of on the caliber of the players that he's selecting, not Eli himself. But I'm saying on the caliber of levels that Jerry Reese has been selecting out of college, outside of OC and Justin Tuck, and even OC, because OC came out of a small university, Troy, and he was only really used to pass rush. He wasn't like a Strahan who was under. Who was brought up under Lawrence Taylor, who got to see Lawrence Taylor play and became an all three down guy.
I'm only going to say this to you.
And Jamal, thanks for the call, man. We appreciate it, bud.
OC Umanyura was a dominant pass rusher.
Well, yeah, of course.
A dominant pass rusher. And I don't think anybody who played against OC Umanyura would ever tell you that they could take an eye off of him when he was coming after the quarterback.
And unfortunately, Paul, I know Giant fans don't want to hear this because they have a bad record, and I get that.
He wasn't Ernie pick, by the way, but Jerry was working with Ernie at the time.
Of course, yeah. I mean, he had a big role in a lot of those college drafts that
built the teams that won the Super Bowl.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. So, and since then, the Giants have had an awful lot of bad luck with some of these injuries in these draft picks. I mean,
Kenny Phillips
would have probably been here on a second contract, here for a long time. David Wilson's another guy. Hakeem Nicks is another guy who obviously is playing still, but injuries took a toll on his body. And by the way, that's not it. Steve Smith, Terrell Thomas, Chad Jones had never even played a game in the NFL because of a car accident. How are you supposed to predict that? Who knows what Clint Sintem would have been if he didn't tear up his knee in his second year in the league?
You know,
I mean, you can go down the list. There's a lot of injuries here. And again, I'm not making excuses, folks. You know, the results are the results. I get that. But it's hard when you have, I think we counted three number ones and three number twos that have been severely hampered by injuries and things that it's really hard to predict.
Well, and honestly, drafting is not an exact science. It's hard enough to do if your guys are healthy, and then when you have guys who wind up having significant injuries, it's just going to do things to your batting average. So, hey, you know what? Here's what I will tell you. And if you watch the show Finding Giants, did you get a chance to watch any of those?
I haven't on my DVR. I have not gone through them yet.
I'm glad I got to see all four of them, but I think there's two bonus shows that are like on some kind of subscription service.
Oh, really?
Yeah, supposedly with NFL Network, there's some kind of subscription you can get the other two. I saw.
You haven't managed to hack that yet, like hack everything else?
No. He's a funny guy. I got to see the four that were on NFL Network. And I really, really enjoyed them.
Inside joke, folks. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know. And you look at the guys like Ryan Jones and Joe Collins and all of these fellas.
Chris Pettit.
Yeah, and Jeremiah Davis.
Yeah,
and
Ryan Jones. All these guys.
All these guys. Steven Arosa.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to leave anybody out, so maybe we shouldn't be naming names. But all these guys are part of that show. And if you get a chance to watch that show, I think you can get – can you get it on demand? Is it on demand? I don't even know if it's on demand. Here's what I implore you, though.
You'll probably find it on NFL.com, I imagine, somewhere, too. Maybe. Neil, you have any idea? NFL Now? NFL
it's,
Now.
It's available?
It.
The full
go.
Shows?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. Here's what I want to tell you. If you have any thoughts about how the Giants try to mine out players or search for players or cultivate players, watch that show. It was fun stuff. It was interesting stuff. And even though I've been around for 32 years, there was stuff in those shows that was even interesting to me, as close as I am to all these guys. It's good stuff. So do that, and it will give you a better idea of the process that they go through in trying to draft players and give you a better understanding.
See, I figured you'd have a big bone to pick with Finding Giants.
Why?
I didn't see you sit that interview with Paul Dottino and all the work you do every year on the draft. Come on. Where were you in your yellow legal pad and your notes?
That's probably as valuable as rolled up toilet paper when it comes to...
For once, we agree. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Will in Virginia Beach. Will, you're up next, pal. What's going on?
Yeah, I just have a question about strategy. I heard a... how are you guys doing? I'm sorry.
That's all right. Well, we're doing great. How about yourself?
I'm good. I was watching a press conference with Tom Coughlin, and the reporter asked him, why didn't he use a quarterback sneak last week when it was like 4th and inches? And he said he doesn't quarterback sneak.
He never has.
I know, but I was just wondering. My question really is, why would you say that, and why would you just use it? Like, I mean, what's his reasoning for not using it?
The reason he doesn't do it is because he doesn't want to get his quarterback hit in the head and injured. That's why he doesn't do it. He said it. And trust me, Tom's not surprising any other opponents out there by saying, you know, I'm not quarterback sneaking. Anybody that's watched tape of the Giants for the last decade knows the Giants aren't running a quarterback sneak. Now, wouldn't this be ingenious if now on a 4th and 1 on Sunday night, they run the sneak?
Oh, boy.
How genius would that be?
I don't know if you're going to see it, John.
Thanks for the call, Will.
Yeah, that's a good point, though. You know, Eli, I think, said maybe really early in his career they ran 2 or 3, but then that was it.
And trust me, Tom's not giving away state secrets with that. That's like that's like Tom saying, I'm not a big fan of running flea flickers. You know think we know that's true.
You know what he did say, though?
What's that?
He said there were a lot of other coaches. I don't think he put a number on it, but he said there are those of us who don't. Apparently, it's more prevalent than even I thought. And I don't know. I'm going to tell you. I can't identify the other coaches who don't believe in it.
You know, I'm trying to think if I've seen
–
only because of the opponent this week. If I've seen the Cowboys run a sneak with Romo in the last few years with all his injury issues. I'm not sure if I've seen it. With DeMarco Murray, I think they usually run the ball traditionally. I don't think they sneak it.
So Jason Garrett may be one of those
guys. He might be. That's only because I never even thought about it. I'm just trying to go through my head and all the games I've seen the Cowboys put the Giants. Do you remember Romo running any quarterback sneaks?
I don't. I mean, I remember him running bootlegs.
I mean, obviously, I haven't
got sneaks.
And obviously, we haven't seen every Cowboy game, but I mean, I don't remember it. Anyway.
You know what? It's an interesting point. And again, by the way Tom answered the question, he certainly hinted at or alluded to the fact that there are others in that club. Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Andrew in Virginia. You're up next at 201-939-4513. What's up, Andrew?
Hey guys, good show so far.
Thanks, bud.
You know, Tom Brady runs it. The Patriots run it.
Yeah, they do.
It does. That's true. But you know what, though? The Broncos don't.
Winners. They're perennial winners, and they're always in the conversation with, you know, putting teams together that no one thought could work, and they always do.
Yeah, but
they?
See, the issue of that whole sneak thing isn't about effectiveness or who wins or loses. It's about Tom just saying
philosophy.
It's an injury risk that I don't want to use. And you if you disagree, that's fine. You can agree to disagree.
Right.
It's an injury risk thing.
Yeah, obviously some coaches like it, some coaches don't. Tom's one of those that doesn't do it. And frankly, guys, you can call and complain. It's not going to change. That's just the way it's going to be.
I don't think that's a debatable point.
What else you got, Andrew?
I also have – I'm enamored by how the Cowboys were able to flip the script the way that they have. They are now employing the strategy and the type of team that Coughlin has always talked about wanting to have and wanting to cultivate. They've got a strong road-grading offensive line. They've got a strong running game that controls the clock. They have an imposing wide receiver. They've got a blocking and catching tight end, a Pro Bowler, a Hall of Famer, future Hall of Famer. They got a 4-3 defense just like we got. They play team defense, no egos, and they play tough physical football. If I told you, who was I talking about? Was it the 2008 New York Giants or was it the 2014 Dallas Cowboys? wouldn't you be pretty shocked?
No, Andrew, I'll say this. I think you have a point on offense, but defensively, the Cowboys don't have the pass rushers that Tom Coughlin and the Giants defense like to employ.
Three things that they're missing. Right. Tom Coughlin loves pass rushers. Tom Coughlin loves stout rushing defense, which the Cowboys aren't stout. They're okay, but they're not stout. They don't just shut down the run. And they're not real big on creating turnovers. Tom wants turnovers. They're okay.
To that end,
Andrew, offensively, I think you're right.
Given our record, at what point do we see more of Ayers? At what point do we see more of Moore? At what point, you know, do we see some of these younger guys? I like Chickie going in there. I like seeing Kennard now that he's healthy.
Shocky, bro.
You know, at what point do we start seeing some younger guys? And I'm not talking about Nassib. You know, I do find it odd that Richburg was benched. You know, how many teams are starting a rookie center right off the bat? So I do kind of wonder, you know, what the game plan is here. You know, Kiwanuka, does he have that much gas left in the tank? I want to see Demontre Moore. You know, I want to see some of our other guys that have been effective in limited snaps. I want to see what they can do. And, you know, I'll hang up and listen to your call, but thanks for the show. You guys are doing great.
Thanks for calling, Andrew. We appreciate it.
I think part of the issue with that, John, first of all, with Richburg, he was forced to go to guard, if you remember, by the injuries
right.
in the preseason.
And by the way, we don't know that he's been benched either. That's a media report. There is no confirmation of that, first of all.
But the reason he wound up at guard was because of necessity.
Right.
He had to get plugged in there, and so they've left him there. He was playing there, they left him there, and that's where he was.
And you figure he will at some point in the next couple of years get back to his natural position at center.
I think that's been made rather clear.
I mean, even in the preseason, when Tom's asked about it, what was always his answer? Weston Richburg's a center.
Right.
That's what he would say.
That's been made pretty clear by everybody here, is that that's where his future is. The future is not the present. But here's the other thing, and you know, if you listen to the coaches, and we do get the coordinators up, they get them on.
They're on Giants.com. Right? Yeah, sure.
If you listen to the coordinators too, they often talk about packages, and you know, we tried to get, for instance, Demontre Moore. We've heard from Perry Fuel and Tom Coughlin a number of times. They wanted to get him more snaps.
Right.
They thought he was going to work into the package, and then because of just the way the game went, maybe that package wasn't utilized.
And he has to earn his way into more playing time, too. Paul, last week, he had, I think, 27 defensive snaps. He had zero tackles.
Well,
you got to produce to get on the field.
That's the other thing. It's a package thing. And then, B, Tom Coughlin is very much old school. And he believes, and we heard this about Corey Washington a lot earlier, too. Why wasn't he on the field? Well, Tom says you have to earn your snaps all the time. There's no shutdown time.
And I want to bring something else up, by the way. And Michael Eisen's one-on-one with Tom Coughlin, which is on Giants.com right now. He asked him about Robert Ayers, and Andrew brought up Robert Ayers specifically, which is why I want to bring it up. So this is what Tom Coughlin said about Robert Ayers. The question was, do you like what he's brought to this team? Tom Coughlin, he plays hard and he works hard at the game. He has pride. He wants it. He's made some plays. Whether he's been inside or outside, he's made plays. Is he in the right spot all the time? No. That's him Tom asking and answering his own question to himself. Michael Eisen follows up, is anybody? Which is a fair question. No one's 100%. Coach's answer. Well, it's all part of it, though. Knowing what your primary responsibility is and not taking the cheese if something else appears in front of you, that seems to be a better idea. But when you're caught in that move, then you say to yourself, whoa, wait a minute, I didn't contain. That's when you have your issues with consistency, but does he play hard? Yes. And I think one of the games we saw that was in that game against Seattle. He was one of the guys that you saw at times crashing down that line of scrimmage and didn't play contain. I think that's what Tom Coughlin's referring to there. I thought that was a very interesting quote.
I'm sure he is. I will also tell you, I think Ayers has had a really good season.
I agree. I think Ayers has been great.
Terrific acquisition. And quite honestly,
probably the best pass rusher on the defensive line.
And again, it's what happened in Denver where he said he thought that they didn't use him, you know, to the best way that he could have been used.
Well, he was never even played the three technique at all in Denver, and that's been his best spot here.
And yeah, here they have found a lot of ways to use him, and he's been effective in almost all of them, I think, because as you heard from Coach Coughlin, they like what he brings to the table. I'll tell you what, it's funny, John, because when he first got here, I wasn't sure myself. Well, how they're going to use him? Is he going to be strictly an end, or is he going to slide down some? And they've used him in multiple spots. And you know, I'm glad he's here. I'll be honest with you.
No, he's been great. He'll be back next year as well. He signed a two-year deal. All right, folks, we got three phone calls. We'll take them all, and then we'll say goodbye here on Giants.com on Big Blue Kickoff. We'll get through them, and let's go to Brian in Charlotte. You're up next. What's going on, Brian?
Hey, P-Dot. Hey, John. How you guys doing today?
What's up, baby? How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, man. You know, I was listening to the thing. You know, it's funny. Do they have an internship? I mean, because that would be, like, one of my dream jobs, just to be a scout for those guys. I really haven't played football before, but just from watching the games and just having someone to pick their brains, I would love that. That's
they,
my thing.
They do have scouting interns, but it's one of those deals where it's a very, 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 very hard thing to get into. Brian,
gotcha.
What's your other point?
Oh, yeah. Another thing I wanted to point out, you know, I know a lot of I think people have failed to realize that we are, you know, yeah, we're our record is 3-7. When I look at our our leaderboards in the NFC East, you know, of course, you have these teams that, you know, yeah, they look real solid. But I mean, I hate to remind people, we looked very solid in 2012 when we were the NFC East in the lead, and then we collapsed. So when I look at the Cowboys and I look at the Eagles and I look at what's going on right now, and I say that because what I've noticed in the first two games that we lost in the season, it was developmental. What's going on right now is we just got Schwartz back. We got Jennings back last week, but of course then he was rusty. Ultimately, I'm very optimistic that at least we can finish, if even not making the postseason, at least finishing with a 9-7. And I'm just putting it on a stretch. You know, I believe we have the players. They might not show up at times, but I believe that they are fully capable because they would not, if Mr. Kaufman didn't feel as though they were not suitable or capable, you know, of playing, you know, all four downs or all four quarters, he wouldn't put them out there.
All right, Brian, thanks for the call, my friend. We gotta run. Thanks, pal.
Yeah, I know you want to get to some other folks. I want to make
answer them, of course. Yeah, go ahead.
One point I do want to make, and Tom does use that phrase, next man up,
yep,
quite often. Mm-hmm. And look, these are the guys you got to play with. They got to give you the four quarters, and they got to coach them up as best as they possibly can. And these guys have to play at the highest level they can play to pull it off. But, again, John, not an excuse but a reason. Backups are backups for a reason. And when you're playing with a bunch of guys at times, you know, who thought they were second string or thought they were third string. I mean, the Giants are missing three of their top four cornerbacks because of injury on injury reserve.
All upper body injuries, by the way.
I mean, honestly, this is not, you know, telling you anything you don't know.
And they're starting middle linebacker, don't forget.
Starting middle linebacker, yeah. I mean, you could coach as hard as you want to coach. You can play as hard as you want to play. And you hope, and you say, we've done everything we can do. Let's see if we can be in this game. Let's see if we can win this game. But there are going to be times.
And I don't think anyone's questioned effort.
Well, yeah. And that's what I'm really trying to get at. I think that I see these guys at practice every week. They're trying. They're working their butts off. But, you know, sometimes you go up against the guy from the other side who just might be a little better.
201-939-4513. Shakes in Baltimore. Shakes, what's going on, pal? Welcome back.
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
What do you got, Shakes?
I got a question for y'all. I know JPP contract is up.
Yes, sir.
What's the chances, in y'all opinion? I want y'all opinion. What's the chances of us bringing him back, and if we do bring him back, for how much?
Well, Shakes, honestly, it's a great question, and I don't think me, Paul, Jerry, or JPP has any idea, because it all depends, frankly, what JPP wants. I'm sure the Giants would like to have him back at the right price, but what is JPP going to demand? No one knows that, except I don't think anybody at this point. What if JPP in the last six games has 8 sacks? What if he has 2 sacks? I mean, it all depends on what happens for the rest of the year. So I think it's a little early to try to come up with that type of percentage.
Okay.
Honestly, Shakes, what you have to understand, and Roman and I talked about this yesterday, no matter what you think that player is worth and no matter what that player thinks he's worth, what if all of a sudden somebody else out of left field has a ton of money under the salary cap and rolls in a Brinks truck
and throws him $30 million guaranteed in a $50 million contract?
Here's Fort Knox. Would you like it?
And I think JPP would be very excited about that and leave. But, you know, who knows if that's going to happen?
What player wouldn't take the keys to Fort Knox?
Exactly.
And
so you don't
I think it's more of a possibility because when I looked at the free agent class and defensive end, he looks like he's going to be one of the top defensive ends in the class.
The projected list is slim. Now, I haven't gone through it with a fine-tooth comb and also to see some folks who look like they could potentially be cut because that's also part of the deal. Some guys also can get cut, and you say, okay, well, now they're going to be in the pool. But I understand your point, and that's why I say to you, there could be a wild card team out there. And the example I used, John, you're going to love this, Redskins with Albert Haynesworth.
Yeah.
Remember?
And, you know, somebody asked me on Twitter the other day about if the Giants be interested in Sue, and I went, well, you know what, they were interested in Haynesworth, so I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, but my point was the Redskins, like, offered, if you believe the newspapers, like twice as much or whatever
right.
it was than
go.
Anybody else did. And so what are you going to do? You know? So you can't sit here and say, neither one of us can sit here and say, there's a good chance JPP will or won't be back. You
thank you, Shakes. We got to run, pal. Thank you, man. Do we still have Frank in Tampa or is this Alan, California? You want Frank? Okay, let's go to Frank in Tampa next. Frank, what's going on?
Yeah, hey, guys. Hey, I was going to ask about something else, but, you know, what you guys brought up about the next man standing, it just kind of made the hairs on the back of my neck go up a little bit. And the reason being that yeah, that's all well and good, but, you know, it's up to the organization to, you know, make sure that the guy that happens to be standing there can play football. You know, you look at what the 49ers of Seattle have been able to take out of the draft in the fourth round and deeper. You know, just while I'm sitting here, I'm thinking about just the receivers' positions. And, you know, over the last handful of years, just listen to this list I've just been able to put together that have been in fourth round or earlier or free agents. Sonoris Moss, Ramsey's Barden, Jarrell Jernigan, Travis Beckham, Adrian Robinson, Brandon Myers, Lewis Murphy.
Well, Brandon Myers is a free agent,
Kevin
Frank.
Tennis, Michael Clayton, Brandon Stokely.
Well, these are free agents.
Saying.
No, Frank, I get it. What's your point?
I said they're either free agents or
right.
early draft picks, and this is what we have for the receiver position to show for the last 6 years.
Well, I mean, the receiver position,
the organization.
Wait, hold on. Let me interrupt.
Yeah, go ahead,
Paul. 1 second. Hakeem Nicks, Steve Smith,
right.
these guys were supposed to be here for a
1 year.
But they were
right,
supposed to be here for a decade. Well, they got hurt.
Exactly, but you got to have somebody standing there, and we don't have anyone standing there.
But no roster in the NFL, Frank, is going to have six starting quality wide receivers on their roster. It's just not the way it works.
Do you hear one? Do you hear one even third receiver?
Well, Frank, you're taking the five best wide receivers the Giants have had over the last 6 years and taking them out of the equation.
Yeah, you can't do that. You can't do that.
I just had 13 guys that can't play football that were on this roster for at least three years.
Thanks for the call, Frank. We appreciate it, bud.
If you go back over the last decade and you say, okay, look, these are all of the receivers that have passed through the doors, certainly there are going to be some hits and misses.
Of course.
That's going to be the case with every position.
But you can't discount the hits.
But the hit guys were supposed to be guys that would be here for a decade.
And look, Nix was a Pro Bowl caliber player. Steve Smith had a Pro Bowl caliber year.
Pro Bowl.
Victor Cruz, Pro Bowl.
Went to the Pro Bowl.
And now you have Odell Beckham that looks like he could be a Pro Bowler. So, and you know, Ruben Randall, say what you want. He's a guy that's going to play in the league for a while. He has NFL caliber skills.
I don't know. I understand the frustration, but I don't know that you can necessarily reason that out when you can't have, like John said, six number one receivers on your roster every year. You can't do it.
Alan, California, will wrap up the show. Alan, you only got a minute, man. What do you got?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Been a while since I've been able to call in. I'm not sure. I just want to flat out say, you know, totally agree with Tom. The guy's been there, done it. He's a lot better than the average coach out there. He definitely deserves another year. Jerry Reese, the draft picks, some haven't panned out, but you got to look at it in the perspective of the whole league. In reality, which team can say, you know, they hit the lottery every year in the draft? Every year I think he's done a decent job with it. I think they both deserve another shot. Defensive side, Perry Fuel, certain games, you know, it showed they weren't able to adapt to certain things. Defensively, we've added some pieces, and I don't know how consistently we get worse by adding quality players. Get the injuries, things of that nature, things like that happen, but you have to be able to adjust. And defensively, on the defensive side of the ball, I don't think the G-men have done that. Future's looking bright. I don't think there's a lot of changes that need to be made. Definitely defensive tackle. defensive line, offensive line upgrades, a few linebackers. But the personnel are there, in my opinion. It's just a couple of tweaks here and there, and hopefully we'll turn it around.
Good stuff, Al. Thanks for the call, my man.
You know, thanks a lot, guys.
The only thing I want to add here, John,
we got to run, Paul.
I know we got to run, but you know, look at the secondary, and you know, McBride, Thurmond, DRC,
Prince,
Roll. We all talked about this during camp.
It was supposed to be a strength that has turned into a weakness.
Should have been the best secondary in the league.
One of the best, yeah.
And
for
again,
sure.
So when you look at that, you say, okay, what was the plan?
And that was how the defense was going to be built from the backside in.
Right. The plan was really good.
And the backside fell apart because of injuries.
And they got the guys to make the plan work.
And if people don't think the Giants' run defense has been killed by John Beeson's absence, they're not paying attention either.
And you know what? Bottom line, injuries are not an excuse, but they are a reason.
They're
a
fact.
They're a fact. They're real.
Hey, bottom line, look at the Cowboys' defense last year. Do you know why they were ranked 31st in the league? They're playing a bunch of guys that can't play in the NFL. That weren't good enough to be on other rosters. That's why they were on the street. They had so many. What did they play? 30 different defensive linemen last year? Some crazy number like that? It's hard to win that way.
When we were in Dallas, what was it? Mickey Spagnuolo said to us.
And that's what I said.
How many of these guys are even left in the league?
And Mickey said that to us when we had him on Tuesday. And that's where I got that from. Right.
Yeah. How many of these guys are left in the league? So, you know, sometimes you just have to realize with what you have to work with at times. It's going to happen.
Paul, we'll see you on Sunday.
You got it, John.
Pre-game show on FAN at 6:30. Check it out. For Paul DeTino, I'm John Schmunk. We'll see you next time on Giants.com, everybody.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35-30.
One end zone punt. Broken intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants!